Hello, everyone. Y'all come on in.
My gosh, be lucky if I don't throw up on y'all this morning. I have a new prescription in my glasses, and ooh-wee. It's a little making me nauseous because I'm still getting used to the way things are adjusting for me and stuff. So y'all come on in. We're gonna be talking about fuck it eating today. I just need to get my notes up. I had them pulled up on my other computer, and that doesn't help when you're on the big one. So I'll get that pulled up. Today is Q&A, so you'll get to ask some questions. And as always, on cue, the lawnmower people have just started. They literally started at 10 a.m. to join us because I guess they have fuck it eating questions too. We don't want to exclude anyone, even the lawnmower guy, just in case he needs to take control over his nighttime eating. All right. Y'all tell me in the chat if can y'all hear me okay? I just want to make sure everything's working this morning. Just let me know. Okay, thank you. And then if you have questions, you can pop them in the Q&A. Coach Lizzie will be there. She will also be she'll be answering questions in the Q&A, but she will also be talking to y'all in the chat in all caps. Let's go. All right. So this month is all about losing weight one thought at a time. And when I was designing this content with Yasmin, who, if you don't know, she's my little partner in crime when it comes to creating all the content for y'all, I was telling her, I was like, we really need to address fuck it eating because fuck it eating has nothing to do with what most of you think it does. I often hear from y'all that I fuck it eat because it tastes so good. I fuck it eat because the food is too tempting. A lot of times we blame foods, number one, for why we fuck it eat. The other thing that we blame fuck it eating on is our feelings. We act like we have zero control when we feel bad. So if I'm upset today, or if I'm lonely today, or I feel bad about eating something. Like it's almost like y'all, you need to think about this. You have food, then you have a moment where you turn to food to eat. Okay. Your opinion about the event where you mess up is where all of your control lies. It doesn't rely on anything other than your opinion about what just happened. That is where nothing in the world can stop you. Everybody, please listen to me when I say this. Fuck it eating is a result not of eating something off plan, not because you overate, not because you felt bad or anything. Fuck it eating is a result of the opinion you have about the moment you know you made a mistake, or the opinion you have about your emotional state, or the opinion you have about your diet. Fuck it eating is always the result of whatever opinion you're going to carry around about it. So, one of the first things we have to do is really understand that we have control over fuck it eating, whether we feel like we do or not. If you don't feel like you do have control, it's not because you don't. It is because of the opinion you have about it. So if you think, once I get started, I can't stop, and you're just like, fact, Corinne, oh my God, give me a stack of Bibles, I'll swear my soul on it. You're just wrong. Because here's what I know. Whatever it is you're eating, let's say somebody call out the one food you think like, oh God, if I eat this food, I'm going to be in fuck it mode. Somebody give me something that they think is the problem. What food do you think is the problem? Chips and salsa, ice cream, cookies, booze, all the things. Okay. We have that. All right. If your opinion about it is when I eat this, like I lose my fucking mind. I just can't stop. It's that's fault. You've now taken all your control and put it outside of you. The only solve, if it's the food's problem, is now we have to remove the food for the rest of your life. Like, it's just got to be gone. Like, somebody needs to wave their, do I even have it here? Yeah. Somebody needs to get out their scepter and say, chips and salsa, be gone from the world. Because Ann can't not eat because of it. So that means, you know, Juan and Dina and Lizzie and all these other people are just going to have to suffer because poor old Ann over here ain't got no control. Now, if your attitude about it was this, which is equally as true, I have overate chips and salsa so many times, I've convinced myself that the food's the problem. Now, everybody think about that for a second. Do they not feel different? There's, oh my God, chips and salsa, that's my problem. If I start, I can't stop. What do we feel? Tell me in the chat. Hopeless. Broken. Terrible. Less than. Not enough. It feels inevitable. We feel out of control. None of those problems or none of those feelings are ever going to help you gain clarity in the moment. Now, contrast this, tell me in the chat, when I say, if your news story about it is, I've told myself for so long that chips and salsa are a problem, that I've taught myself to overeat them. Now, you might not feel great about it, but now what do you feel? It's not so hopeless. But a lot of people will feel like aware, relief. Somebody said disbelief, intrigued, curious. Somebody said stupid. So this is a really good example, Vivian. When you say stupid, that's not coming from that thought. When I tell you, all of you, and this is actually how it works. Chips and salsa does not have magic power over you. First of all, it doesn't have legs and feet. It's not like running into your mouth, prying it open, and jumping down in there. So it's an inanimate object. So it definitely has no control over you. So even when you say it has control over me, you need to tell yourself, I feel like it has control over me because for so long I have thought food like does something to me. Instead of the whole time the real problem has been like how I've always ate it, the stories I've told myself around it, the restrict and bend behaviors that I've had around it, that has all caused these feelings, but it's not the food. When we feel stupid, it's because we take a sentence and we say like, something's wrong with me because my brain works like every other fucking human being in the entire God's green earth. Vivian, for fuck's sake, seriously, all of you who do this to yourselves, stop calling yourself names and demeaning yourself because your brain works the way it was God-given designed. Anything you think over and over and over again, your brain is supposed to be like, habit, we're supposed to believe it, this is what we should do. Period. And if you're calling yourself dumb for your brain working the way it's supposed to, well, then you're just fighting a losing battle. Like, I want all of you to think about this. If you're going to sit there and call yourself an idiot or stupid or dumb or whatever it is that you want to call yourself, lazy, because you've thought one way about food and never been introduced to another way on how to think about it, it's like, I must be dumb. That would be like, Vivian, I don't know if you speak other languages, but let's say we're going to go to some African country. I used to have a teacher who taught geometry. Like, Pat, I'm a failure. Just fucking stop. Like, tell yourself right now, it is not worth, like, I am not going to make not knowing something personal. So we're all going to Africa. And there's a little country somewhere. I cannot remember what it is. But I had a geometry teacher in high school. And every day, she taught us the Swahili word of the day. Because every summer, She would go to this country and she worked with, like, she taught math to African students who did not get access to this type of information. So she had to know how to speak Swahili. That would be like all of us going with her. So, oh, we want to volunteer our time. We're no BS women. We're going to teach all these kids like how to have a great relationship with food. We're going to teach all these kids how to be proud of themselves. We're going to teach all these kids these amazing things that we learn in OBS. And we get over there and we're like, oh, well, we can't teach you. We're so fucking stupid. We don't know how to speak Swahili. We must be dumb. We must be lazy. I feel like a failure. If I dropped your ass in a country where you don't speak the language, we do not call ourselves dumb, lazy, and stupid because we don't speak the language. You know what we do? We figure out how to speak the damn language. We ask questions. Because here's one thing I know about y'all. Y'all gonna figure out how to eat. How many of y'all gonna go to another country for 2 weeks? But like, well, I guess I can't eat because I'm not gonna be able to ask questions. I'm too stupid. Every one of y'all so afraid of being hungry. Y'all gonna get over and be like, get me a dictionary. I need to ask how to get a hamburger. So we have to realize that we are not dumb. We are not stupid for not knowing these things. What we are is in a pattern of thinking about our food and our feelings in one way. And we're not opening our mind to thinking about it in a different way that makes more sense, that gives us clarity, and that opens the door to take more control over our fucking eating. So when you have your chips and salsa, here's how I know it does not have control over you. If I brought all of you here to my house, one at a time, and I was like, I am going to put every no BS woman in my house for 24 hours, and she shall walk the gauntlet of food temptation. And I pre-interviewed you and said, tell me all your favorite foods. What are your fuck it foods? And then you come in my house and Aunt JJ has prepared a buffet of deliciousness. And it's Aunt JJ food. Y'all know how I feel about Aunt JJ food. Best food in the world. And then I'm like, you hungry? How many of you'd be like, I gotta go face down. I didn't realize you were gonna put my fuck it foods here. I don't care that Corinne's here. I have to eat right now and I'm gonna have to just eat mindlessly until I'm ready to pop. Somebody, right, not in front of you. Wouldn't do that. I'd check in with my body. If food really, Teresa, no, I do that when no one's around. Exactly. That's your opinion about this food. Your opinion is I eat these foods when no one else is around. It's no wonder that if they're some type of bad, secretive, I can only do this when I'm getting away from it. No wonder you have frenzied eating, fuck it eating when the moment comes. It isn't because it's the food. It's that story that you've created around it. Your story would change the moment you walked into my house. Your story wouldn't be, I'm out of control around these foods. I can't help myself around these foods. You know what your story would be? I got to figure this shit out. I'm not going to sit here and eat like an asshole in front of the queen. Now, just imagine for a moment. I want you to imagine if your new story about all your fuck it eats were, I'm not going to eat like an asshole in front of myself anymore. These foods do not control me. The story I keep telling myself is the reason why I feel so anxious around them. The story I tell myself around making mistakes is the reason why I eat more of it. The story I tell myself is what's driving all of the feelings. So the answer is here. You have to actively change the story. So in the moment, like before you're going to eat your favorite foods, be exposed to them, your kids go to bed or whatever, you have to listen for how you talk about it. And then every time you do, and your brain naturally sends up the way it's always talked about it, you have to then tell yourself, okay, I get that. That's one way we've talked about it. Here's the new way that I'm learning to think about it. Because I want to be someone who enjoys these foods. I don't want to be someone who's scared of them. I don't want to be someone who feels like they can't control themselves. And the only way to control myself around these foods one day is to start someplace where I can change the opinions. So y'all, if you have a question, you put it in the Q&A. I can't read the chat fast enough to answer questions, but I can answer them when they're in Q&A. So Anonymous says, I eat by myself. I'm wondering if I should eat in front of a mirror. You could try it. There's nothing wrong with eating in front of a mirror. But I think the most important thing is that when you're eating is that you tell yourself, I am eating with the most important person in the world. That's me. My opinion of me matters. It matters. The version of me earlier in the day who wasn't going to eat this or who was going to eat a serving or whatever. I respect the past version of me. I want to make her proud. And I put my trust in her. She knew what we wanted. But present me is feeling the feelings. Present me has our current opinion. Past me was thinking like the future version of us. And so she planned like her. Past and future me worked together to make the most of this moment right now. But the problem comes when present you comes in, she doesn't have enough practice thinking like future and past you. So she just, her brain sends up habit thoughts. She sends up all the thinking that's always been there. And so you have to say things like, I trust the version of me who made my plan earlier today. I trust the version of me who said that if I catch an overeat, it's not a big deal, that we can always stop eating anytime we choose. Even in those moments when I feel like this is so bad, this is so awful, I shouldn't be eating like this, I've screwed up, I might as well get it out of my system, tomorrow I'll do better. I know that that is what present you always thinks in these moments. But past me prepared me for that. Future me knows how to do it. She's cheering me on. Very often for me in the moment when I'm wanting to eat, when I'm wanting to just throw it out the window, when I'm just like, if y'all think it's hard when you're overweight, I always think back. I was like, it was a bit easier for me at times to like eat better and do better when I was losing weight because I still had a goal. You know, when you're sitting around in maintenance for a long time, I don't really have a lot of goals other than to feel good, be healthy, live a long time. Not that those aren't important, but I will just tell you, in the moment when it's like time to eat, those are great goals, but they're not fucking exciting when fried chicken, livers, nachos, wine, ice cream, and shit like that's sitting in front of you, Vivian. Just like for y'all, it's like, my whys aren't strong enough. Like in the moment, like I can't tell myself I want to lose weight and I want to, you know, don't want to have the seatbelt extender and stuff. I get it. It's like, no. Whys are usually not super sexy in the moment. That doesn't mean we still don't remind ourselves of them. But I'm just going to tell you right now. Most goals whether you are trying to maintain your weight or lose your weight, will fall flat in the face of your favorite foods. They're not as exciting. They're going to be exciting when they're achieved. But in the moment when you're doing the work, it's not supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be patient. Ugh. It's supposed to feel a little hard, not excruciating. But some of y'all are just allergic to the hard work. Like, it's not fun to tell yourself no. But it's not depriving. This is where we go from, like, this is what I'm going to do. I don't expect to be motivated to say no to nachos when everyone's eating them. That is like a ridiculous expectation. Like, I just don't know why I can't say no. It's because a lot of y'all want to just go in and be like, I just feel great. Like, whatever. Y'all just eat whatever. I'm over here in my healthy land, excited for life, on crack cocaine with my weight loss. No, if you're out with friends and everybody is sitting around having White Russians and nachos and talking about where they're going for dessert, and you're just like, I'm going to drink my water because I want to wake up tomorrow and feel good. I didn't plan for this. I'm planning to do more of my eating that I enjoy, like at my mama's on Sunday for Sunday dinner. Friday night with the girls, like I'm going to have to just go. I'm not doing both because I can't lose weight doing both. But that doesn't mean I can't go out. It just means when I go out, it might not be as fun until I get comfortable with saying no, until I get used to being the one that sometimes doesn't eat and I realize it's not that big a fucking deal, until I've done it so many times that the next day I'm so proud of myself and stuff that in the moment now it's just getting easier. I've just gotten used to being there. I know when I want to eat things and when I really don't want to. I know when it's just an urge, a FOMO, I don't want to upset people moment. And when it's like, no, Sunday dinner with my mama eating her biscuits and gravy and fried chicken, that's my moment. That's what I like to have. And sometimes that means going out with my girlfriends on Fridays and Saturdays and not like showing up at my mama's hungover and fucking eating because I've been eating like a jackass all weekend because I didn't want to miss out on shit. Because I ignored what my past self said I could do and what I wanted. Because I ignored my future self and how she wanted to feel on Monday morning. I was just living large in present land, taking every thought that came into my brain and getting bitch slapped around about it instead of thinking about things. So, when it comes to fuck it eating, here's what I want you to know. First, it is not because of the food. Most of the time when we say, fuck it, I'm just going to eat, it is derived from the opinion that we either have about the food, like, I shouldn't have ate that. That's a bad food. I did something wrong. Or the opinion about ourselves. Oh my God, I broke my plan. Oh shit, I ate past enough. And then in that moment, whatever you tell yourself, that's going to be the deciding factor if you fuck it eat. It won't be because of the feeling. It won't be because of the food. It will simply be because you either tell yourself you're stupid, you're lazy, you can make up for it tomorrow, you shouldn't have done it, therefore you'll never lose weight. I might as well get it out of my system. If that's what you're thinking and you don't interrupt it there and tell yourself something new, yes, you will continue to fuck it eat. You have a choice in that moment. So everybody catches themselves in the moment of an overeat, on an off plan eat, in the middle of a binge. Maybe you like are at the end of a binge, a major overeat. What happens next is the fork in the road. I want you to imagine you're rolling down a road. And here we are at the split. And it's like, we've been going down overeating road and we get to decide now. Do we make it worse by eating more? Or do we make it better by stopping, dissecting? And you don't have to dissect in the moment, but promising yourself, I'm going to look into this tomorrow when I have some perspective. But what I know I can do is not make it worse right now. I do not have to make it worse. I do not have to catastrophize this. If your brain is spiraling like, oh my God, you're not going to lose weight this week. You're probably never going to be able to do it. This always happens. You're such a fuck up, blah, 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 blah. You want to be like, I knew my brain would do all of this. When I make mistakes, my brain is just trained to think one way about them. My brain is very wired to make it a catastrophe. But I just need to breathe and remind myself, I do not have to make it worse. I can just stop eating and I'll deal with why it happened. I'll deal with all of that later. But for now, the best medicine is to stop eating and remind myself, this is something I'm working on. And then when your brain keeps beating yourself up, you just tell yourself, my brain always does this. I'm unlearning this type of talking to myself. Because that is the only way we do it. None of you are going to journal enough, do enough worksheets, listen to enough calls, and then your brain just shift magically and just offer you new thinking and never think like the old you anymore. It's an evolution and it never stops. That is the other part that all of you have to come to grips with. My brain still catastrophizes a lot of things in life. Like this weekend, I went to Knoxville. My niece is graduating from the University of Tennessee. Go Vols. In like 4 weeks, the same weekend as camp, body image week. Y'all don't know how like crazy this is, but I scheduled this event 18, 20 months ago, something like that. This one, we have to book hotels and stuff and picked this weekend. And then literally the day, Saturday of camp is the exact day that she is graduating. And I have put this baby through college. Like my son did not want to go to school. And Chris and I were just like, you know, if she wants to go to UT, that's my favorite school. I did not get to go. It was a gift I wanted to give. I mean, it meant everything to me that she was picking UT. And so I told Chris, I was like, I can't believe after all this, I'm not even going to get to see this baby graduate. So she is graduating in the evening. I have swore that the second camp is over on Saturday night, I will be hauling ass to my house so I can airplay the live stream on my television and just watch her walk the stage. Her last name is Wright, thank God. So she will be at the end of the line, which means I'll have time to get home and watch it. But I tell you this because this weekend I went for her senior pictures and she wanted some pictures with her family and me. And so I went down there and just had the best orange dress. Oh my God, I can't even believe this. I found it on Pinterest. A legit UT orange dress. I was just like, this is what I'm wearing. And everybody was wearing white. I was like, where's all the orange? I was like the only person in the world, it felt like, that was wearing bright ass orange at UT. Anyway, we went out on Saturday night and I had like three drinks. I ate some paella. I don't know if I had anything else. I don't think I had anything. I didn't do dessert because I was thinking I might do dessert the next night, but I'd only planned to have one drink and I ended up having three. And, you know, I was just like y'all. I was like, fuck it. Like, let's just go. Like, I'm just going to have some drinks. This will be all right. Who cares? So in the moment, that was all happening. So we, you know, kept walking around. We went to a candy shop. And I will just tell you, my brain was going crazy. Like, I might as well eat candy. I don't get to go out very much. Blah, la, 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 la. Like, all the things. And I remember being in the candy store and telling myself, you can buy some candy, but we're going to save it for tomorrow. And that is only because for years and years and years, I have practiced having another conversation with myself that even after I'd had three drinks over the course of the evening and I'm standing in a candy store, my story isn't that when you fuck the day up, you might as well keep going. What I truly believe is that any moment, you can always make a better decision. To me, that is equally as true as at any moment you can just keep going. And I just know this. And I hope all of you know it. It really is possible. It's not impossible. It might be hard. It might be difficult. You may not be used to doing it. You may have never tried it. Your brain maybe really feels like if you mess up, there's no other alternative. But I promise all of you, it is equally as true that no matter what's going on, there is always an opportunity to make a better decision at any moment. You just have to be willing to find it. And so I found it in that moment. Well, then guess what happens the next day? I wake up in the morning and I'm just like, you drank too much. Like, this is some bullshit. You shouldn't have done that. Like, I don't remember the exact thought, but I always have this thought that you shouldn't be teaching people this stuff, or you are like not a fraud. Like, I don't think of myself as a fraud, but it's always like you should be better than this. Basically, it's like a flavor of, you know, like you should just be better than this. And it always happens. It happens in my personal life. Like if I say something to Logan and it's like not perfect mommy talk, it's like, you really should be better than this. You're fucking life coach. Like, I can't believe that you said that in front of your child. I do the same thing with like in my marriage. I do the same thing in business. When there's problems in the business, it's like, who are you to teach other people? You should know better. So it's very natural for our brains to do it. What we have to naturalize is having another conversation when that happens. That's how we like plug up a lot of the self-talk. Because I think a lot of you think like, I'm going to get rid of fuck it eats by being perfect. And that is not how we do it. Because there's no way you are going to ever not overeat. It is humanly impossible. Humans overeat at times. Thin people overeat. People who do not have problems with food, they overeat. There are times we want to overeat. Like if it's like Thanksgiving or something, sometimes I'm just like, I just really want to enjoy this meal and that's okay. Like I'm kind of planning to just, I'm going to eat however much I want. And tomorrow I'm just back to normal. This is just something I do every now and then. So if we can't eradicate them, what we have to do is we have to eradicate feeling really bad about it. We have to eradicate all of the extra negative thinking we compile and put on top of it. So with your fuck it eating, it always starts with an opinion that you have. You're going down overeating road. You have your fork in the road. The fork is like, I've come to the point where I realize, oh no, I've done something that I think is wrong. I've caught myself either in the middle, at the beginning, at the end of a binge or an overeat. And in that moment, we're going to have all of our judgmental thoughts come in. And now what we're going to do is we're going to be prepared for it. And we're going to tell ourselves, this is the moment I'm at the fork in the road. All of my judgy thoughts, the ones that are saying, this is bad, this is wrong, you can start over tomorrow, whatever your flavor of gateway opinions and thoughts you have to get you to fuck it eat, you need to become very aware of them, because those thoughts lead you down the wrong path. They make you take a wrong turn. They go down to fuck it eating land. We don't want to go to fuck it eating land anymore. We want to go to weight loss land. Which means that in that moment when we're prepared for it, like, I knew I was going to think these things. But there's always an opportunity to make the next best decision. You can stop the eating. You can just say, last bite, and then I'm wrapping it up and putting it away. I'm glad I caught myself. I'd rather catch myself than to fuck it eat in this moment. There's no sense in making this worse. You can be at the end of one and notice you're beating yourself up and say, like, nope, I refuse to beat myself up. I choose love in this moment. Something must be going on. It could be emotional. It could be habit. I'm not sure what it is, but I don't have to figure it all out right now. The only thing I need to do is take a left. I need to go down the road that says, we're off to weight loss land. And in weight loss land, we're not beating ourselves up. It means tomorrow we learn. We take it to ask coaches. We ask questions. We do our discovery worksheet. We do it when it's going to feel productive to us. For some of you, you'll get to a point to where, like, you'll notice an overeat or whatever, and you'll be like, I just want to do a discovery worksheet. It makes me feel so much better when I figure out what's going on in the moment. If that's you, you do it in the moment. Some of you, it's too much. Like, the best thing that you can do is to settle your nervous system, to just say, I love myself too much, or I'm learning to love myself, or, you know, I refuse to hate myself through weight loss anymore. Whatever it is you need to tell yourself, and you just say, I can figure this out when I'm calmer. Right now is not my time. I just need to take care of myself because I've already overate and I feel bad about myself. So I just want to take care of myself, because I'm going to tell y'all, that's what you need the most in the moment. When you're being hard on yourself, a lot of you want to go and eat even more to shut the voice off. When there's an alternative, to tell yourself, I'm figuring out how to really care for you in these moments. It's not as bad as we often think it is. It just feels really enormous right now because we're used to thinking about this in only one way. And even if you don't know a new way to think about it, just tell yourself, there is a version of me who listens to Corinne. There's a version of me who hears replays. There's a version of me that reads in the Facebook that always feels like there's hope. It's just right now I can't access it. Sometimes even just telling yourself, like, this version of me right now can't access things I also know are available. They're just not available to me right now, and that's okay. Sometimes that is enough to just take that temperature down a little bit, to calm down some, to not feel so burdened by it. Sometimes we just need a good cry. It's like, I know, I'm so disappointed. I want to lose weight so bad, and I'm still struggling in this area. But I'm working on it, and I'm just going to have a big ass cry. And I'm crying because I want it so bad. And that's okay. Like, whatever it is, like, just think about, what is it that you need in the moment? And then remember that overeating or fuck it eating is because we're catastrophizing things. We're blowing them out of proportion. We're letting our habit brain run the show. It's not because that overeat was so awful. And then the last thing I just want to tell y'all is, Use the Fuck It Foods worksheet. It is inside. See, Lizzie, do we know where that is? It says do the Fuck It Foods worksheet to start to normalize your relationship with the foods that you feel control you. I'm not sure 100% which oh, here it is. It is it's in Urges 2.0. And then there's a Fuck It Food worksheet in there. So once you're done with the No BS course, you can always go to our Pathways page and you can take Urges 2.0. And then we have the Fuck It Foods worksheet in there. I highly recommend a lot of you do it. Take those chips and salsa. Take that glass of wine. Take whatever it is and do the worksheet. It is not a binge out overeating worksheet. The way that it works is you take one of your favorite foods that you feel like you can't control yourself around, and you're going to eat it with a worksheet to kind of see what it's like bite by bite. It's where we're consciously slowing it down, and then you're going to stop eating. Once you, like, you're doing it one bite at a time, you're going to stop eating the moment you realize, like, it tastes different. Like, it's all starting to taste the same. It's a worksheet that helps you demystify the control food has over you. We also have probably at least 3 or 4 replays at this point, maybe even more, of when different coaches, including me, have walked the membership through the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So you could do it with one of those calls playing. So you're just going to get your food, you'll get your worksheet, you will push play on the call, and you just follow the commands all the way. And I just highly recommend doing it. All right, let me take a few questions. Right now, I found myself fuck it eating because I know something emotional is bubbling around, but I haven't identified it yet. All I know is it's not a good emotion, so I'm smashing it down. I'm doing better at realizing it's emotions, but now I'm having a story about not being able to identify my emotions. It seems like no matter what, I'm making up a story to give. I don't think you're making up a story to give yourself permission to eat. I think you're overthinking that. Like, I think you're like, let's just figure out, like, don't worry about the fuck it eating. What is it you're feeling? Like, there's a feeling bubbling around. Take 5 guesses right now. Put it in the Q&A. Just like, it could be this, it could be this, and give me the one word feeling. But right now you got to start taking guesses. This is the biggest thing. It's like, there's 2 things you can do. You can take 5 guesses as to the feelings that it is. That's always a good way, because usually if you take at least 5 guesses, one of them is going to jump off the page. It's like, I think that's it. If you have one that feels like it could be, it's like, I'm like 50-50. That could be it. That's the one you work on. You start asking yourself, why am I feeling this way? And you just force yourself every day to write at least one sentence about that feeling. Today, I might feel this because I'm thinking. And I would just do that over and over and over again for a few weeks. It's better to do that than it is to just sit around and be like, I don't know. It's bubbling around down there. This is the funny thing about feelings. They don't really bubble around beneath the surface. We can't really smash them down. Like, those are things that we say we can do, but they're not exactly the truth. The truth is you feel something and then you distract yourself to do something else so that you don't have to think about it. The other question that you can ask yourself is, why am I afraid to admit what I'm feeling? Because you probably know. And the reason why you're kind of doing this whole, like, I just want to be confused about what's going on, probably is coming from, I fear admitting. So you can always ask this question. If I wasn't afraid to admit I'm feeling, I would say it's this because of that. You don't have to tell anyone. That's the nice thing. This is the great thing about when you journal and you do feelings. None of them are ever bad. We have negative opinions about it. But that's just our work to do to realize, man, we think some batshit crazy stuff all the time. I've got something going on personal right now that I can't, it's like very private in my families, and like, we're not talking, like, I've been asked not to talk about this publicly, but I will just tell you, it's a really private matter. And I have had all the thoughts about it. And I have just told myself, you are allowed to have all kinds of thoughts and opinions about this. Because you have influences from the entire world, your entire life, that if like thousands of influences that you've heard in magazines, from friends, news, family, like all kind, church, just you name it. There's just all kinds of ways that we collect a lot of thoughts and opinions about things. And often they conflict. Sometimes we think that they're bad or whatever. And I just come to the conclusion that everything that I think at some point probably makes sense. I have absorbed so much collective wisdom from the world that thinking anything probably makes sense. And I just want to know what it is that I think so I can decide how does Corinne want to think about this? I just want to slow it down so I don't feel like I'm thinking about things just the way I am. Because if some thoughts are just crazy to me, it's like, if I'm judging them and thinking I'm a bad person because of it, I am going to ignore them. I'm never going to face anything that I think makes me a bad person. I will eat over it. I will run from it. I will waste a lot of time and energy. And if I just realize, like, everybody thinks stuff. I remember when Logan was little, I wish I'd known this back then. One of my employees, she just had a baby, and her first day back was Monday. And so yesterday we had a meeting, and I was just, well, how is it? You know, how's it going and stuff? And she is just doing so much better than I was. I just told her, I was like, oh God, like, you're doing so good. Like, she just has such a good attitude. When Logan was her child's age, when he was like 8 weeks, every day I thought, what have I done to myself? I have made the world's biggest mistake. There were times I would look at him and just say, like, I wish I could give him to someone. This is too hard for me. I can't do this. I thought that all the time. But you know what I also did? The entire time I thought, you must not be cut out for this. Who thinks like this? You're a terrible mother. Like, I spent the first year of his life miserable because I wasn't getting sleep, very tired, wore out, all the things, and then also extra miserable because every day I judged myself so poorly for having very normal new mother thinking. I had no one to talk to. No, I didn't think anybody thought like me. I didn't realize my thoughts were normal. That is probably the best thing, like the best gift I can give to all of you, is that whatever it is that goes on in your head when you're like trying to, like, I've got feelings bubbling under the surface and stuff. Usually what puts a lid on them, it's not the food and stuff. What's really putting the lid on it is, I shouldn't be thinking or feeling this way. Thinking and feeling this way means X about me. And if that is gross or terrible or whatever, yeah, you're going to want to eat and stuff to try to keep away from those thoughts. So the solve is to first just kind of normalize. It's like, we all think crazy shit all the time. I mean, this is kind of funny, but Chris and I, we're watching, I don't know if y'all ever watched The Shield back in the day. Chris and I love watching shows. Like, we are just now catching up on what happened. You know, this show came out in 2002 when Logan was born. I literally asked him the other day, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even hear about this show. It was like, I don't even remember us watching television. We didn't. We watched Thomas, JJ the Jet Plane. We watched a lot of that. A Baby Einstein. Like, we were always watching. I was like, no wonder there's a big gap in our pop culture knowledge. It's because all we did was watch kids shows when Logan was little. Like, you only watched what Logan wanted to watch. We didn't watch anything else ever. And so we're watching this show, and there's like tons of vigilante justice always, you know, like, we watch a lot of shows where, you know, it's just, you know, serial killers that are good but bad or killing people and stuff. And I'm always like, yeah, that person deserves it. We should kill them. I'm like, now what if I sat around and judged myself for having innocent thoughts of when I'm watching TV, the certain people, like, Yeah, that person, man, they like they're the real bad guy. This bad guy should kill this bad guy. Like, we do this all the time. If I can sit around and have thoughts like that, I guarantee you there's not shit y'all are thinking that's that crazy. So give yourself some grace and compassion. Corinne, is it possible that our fucked up mind literally will on to weight? I'm not sure what that says. If we think we ate those bucket foods without overeating them. I'm not sure what, I think there was a typo there. Because something is really wrong with my brain. And even if I eat a muffin or a bowl of chips, my mind says, that's it, bitch. You ain't losing any weight. Yeah. So this is the thing, Natalie, about this. So this is, I'm not 100% sure what you're actually asking, but I'm just going to give you what I think my opinion is, Natalie. Your brain is very conditioned to have certain thoughts about chips and certain thoughts about muffins. We need to normalize chips and muffins. They don't fuck up weight loss. If we only eat them and we're eating them because we're sad and we're eating them because we're mad at ourselves and we're eating them in fuck it mode, when we're eating them like that, it's hard to lose weight. When you eat them as a part of a normal meal plan, and you like, this is all I need, they're not a problem. Otherwise, if I want all of you to think about this, if muffins and chips were a legit problem, then thin people that can live off of muffins and chips would not be able to be thin. That's how we just inherently know certain foods are not the problem. And so sometimes you just have to tell yourself, look, some chips is totally normal to eat. The only time they become a problem is when I beat myself up over them, when I eat them because I've shamed myself, when I'm eating them because I'm bored in the afternoon, when I'm not hungry and I'm just looking for something to do to pass the time. Now it's not chips are the problem, it's my inability to entertain myself, to be patient, to be bored. That's the problem. So for a lot of you, just getting really clear around these foods, like really thinking, as much as I want to believe and diet culture has said these foods are a problem, they're not really a problem. One thing I do like about this going on, like this is in the calorie counting world right now. I follow a lot of different fitness people. And although I don't teach y'all to count, I don't like counting calories and stuff, and I don't think that's the way to go. The one thing that is helpful in the calorie counting, like kind of new world, is they're talking about like stop thinking certain foods are the problem. So there's a lot of people out there, they get people to lose weight by saying like, let's get into this calorie range, but you can eat whatever you want in it, but we still have to really listen to what your body needs. And I think it's fine. I just prefer y'all not have to count calories to do it, to listen to what your body really needs. I just think it's more freeing and I think it's easier. But one of the nice things about what they say is like, stop putting so much emphasis on what you're eating. We all have to, at the end of the day, like whether you're counting calories or not, because a lot of the calorie counting is really skewed numbers. That's why I don't like it, because still the vast, I would say 80% of apps and stuff are shooting way too low for a woman to lose weight at a lifelong sustainable pace. If you're listening to hunger and you are stopping at enough, you will be technically in a slight calorie deficit. And as long as you are in some kind of slight deficit, which that is what eating to enough is, full is like eating at your maintenance level. Past full is gaining weight. Stuffing yourself is like gaining weight. Eating to full is like maintaining. Now, when I say full, I don't mean bloated. That's stuffing. Like I can eat most of my meals to full. And I call it like comfortable full, where I'm not like, I couldn't go out for a walk and stuff. Eating to enough means I've ate to enough. I'm not full, but I'm just below. And yes, it takes playing with. It just takes time, but it's so freeing. When you start dialing it in, it becomes very freeing because then you can go anywhere and do anything that you want to do. And that's what I like. I don't want to have to go someplace and be like, I wonder how many calories is in this and blah, blah, blah. I want to be able to just go anywhere and eat anywhere knowing as long as I'm waiting until hunger and I stop it enough and don't stuff myself, I'm not eating to full, I should be able to lose weight, which also frees me to be able to enjoy more food. And Christy, that is not even technically true. A 500 calorie deficit a day is 1 pound of loss a week. It's not technically true. This is why I don't like calorie counting, because there's lots of things that come into play. I would just rather all of you really get good at watching, like, week to week, what's my weight loss trend? Am I eating to enough? If you're not having overeats, you're not donkey butt eating, you're not like grab assing and doing all that other stuff, if you're just watching, you will dial it in. It becomes natural and it becomes the easiest way to lose weight. But it's like anything, when you first start, it takes time to figure out. You have to pay attention. You have to get used to paying attention. Eventually, you know, it becomes your habit. You don't have to get used to paying attention anymore. So for all of you, I want you to really realize that, you know, I think quality of food is important for health and longevity. And we are going to be having, I've got some surprises coming up for the second half of the year. I can't reveal them just yet. We're finalizing a lot of stuff, but there will be some like more teaching on like gentle type nutrition and stuff. But here's the short of it. Here's what you need to know. We want to eat, and this is already stuff I talk about. We want to eat for several reasons. We want to eat foods that give us energy. We want to eat nutritious foods. We also want to eat foods that emotionally support us. We want to sometimes eat foods simply because they taste good. And this is going to give me pleasure. And this is what I enjoy. I just want you to be very conscious when you're doing all of it. I want you to get used to planning this stuff so that you can have a lot of spontaneity in your life. I want you to be able to spontaneously go run after your kids. I want you to be able to just hop out of bed in the mornings and feel better because you have more energy. I want you to be able to go out with friends when you get invited and have fun. And sometimes that includes food. And sometimes it's because you've gotten so used to having fun that you don't have to eat. I want you to have that kind of freedom and flexibility in life. I do not want the only way you know how to have fun and have spontaneity in life is by eating whatever you want, whenever you want. It is a very limiting way to live your life. We convince ourselves that that's being spontaneous when it's actually, when you really look at it, that is the only way that I know how to enjoy my life. It is one of the most limiting things I can ever do to myself. Because when I put all my eggs in the basket of food, I'm not out there trying to figure out how to like myself, how to be proud of myself, how to challenge myself, how to have fun in new ways, pursue hobbies that I'm afraid to try, ask for help in areas where I need help. When all it is the food, you cut yourself out from all of that good, spontaneous living. All right. That is it for today. I have to get off since MJ's got another call that she's got to fire up. Y'all have a good one. If we didn't get to your question, just take it over to Ask Coaches. Coaches will be happy to help you out over there. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.